Okay, we're going to pray, not so much for Steve, but for us, that we'll be receptive to what God wants to say to us in a moment. But before that, you're pretty much aware of the fact that Helen and Bob, normally in the first half of the meeting, but not in the second half. That's really because Bob struggles increasingly. So today he's feeling particularly bad and breathless. While for some of us, something like that is something that you're overtaking in stride and thinking, oh, I've got an inhaler or something, or it's just a bad day. For Bob, that carries a sense of impending doom, right? Whether he's right about that and not right about that in the way it's immaterial, but for Rosie, for Helen, for Bob, that's a real source of pressure. And I'd just like to pray that whatever the trend is, that he'll experience the touch of God this morning as he drives home. And so that by the time he gets home, Ellen's nagging him and said, you were just making a fuss with a mistake. Yeah. I don't think he was making a fuss. So, yeah. Let's just pray, and then let's pray for us as well. Father, sometimes we're so busy with our own stuff that we don't notice what's going on, let alone around the world, even in our own community. And Lord, this morning we bring Helen and Bob before you. And we pray for your grace on them. We pray for your healing power on Bob. Right now, as they go back home. And Lord, if we do that, we come to you in faith and in expectation that you will touch our hearts this morning. Lord, that even if what Steve says doesn't stick in our head, that it will transform the way that we live as we desire to be ever only all for you. Help Steve, help him find the way through his material. Help him to gain new insight as he speaks and cause us to be touched so that we're able to follow Jesus more closely in more areas of our lives and live a life that's worthy and pleasing to God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, so we're carrying on in this series on worship. So exploring really the purpose of worship over a series of talks. So Dave spoke to us last week, and I'm carrying on with that. And I'm looking, the title of my talk for today is Worship Offers Us Fresh Insight of What God Is Doing In and Through Us in the World. And so the focus passage around my talk is the first passage on the little handout I've given you from Ephesians. So it's Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. So I'm just going to start by reading through that. So it starts. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So the passage starts with the phrase, for this reason. And whenever a passage starts with that, I always think it's good to ask for what reason. So I'll just read the preceding two verses to you just so that we're clear where it's starting. So it's to do with the fact we've been redeemed. And verses 13 to 14, Paul says, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So everything in this passage is for the reason that we've been redeemed, and Paul's building on the fact that we've been given the Holy Spirit. And it's this redemption story that's the reason for Paul's thanksgiving in this passage. Now, stories can make a big impact on us in our everyday lives. A very silly little example from the week. Over this course of this year, really, I've been rereading the Harry Potter books, and I'm currently in Harry Potter 7. And there's a scene in this book where they've gone to visit the Lovegoods house, and Ron says to Hermione, oh, well, of course that's the Lovegoods house, because it looks like a rook. And Hermione responds by being really confused, and she says, it doesn't look like a bird. And he says, no, a rook like a castle in chess. And she doesn't get the distinction. So I read that bit of the story and life carried on. And then later in the week, I was sharing a bag of sweets with Emma, and there was a sweet that was shaped like a rook. So I said to Emma, oh, would you like the sweet that's shaped like the rook? And she says, oh, yes. And then she said, this doesn't look like a crow. And it was exactly the same confusion. And before reading that passage earlier in the week, I'd have probably described it as a castle. But reading the story changed my vocabulary, and it made an impact on my life. So, even in really little ways, stories can make an impact on the way we live our lives. And so Paul wants the redemption story to make an impact on the way that we live our lives. And, you know, sometimes those impacts can be conscious. You know, you can read something and it can make you consciously change the way you live your lives. And sometimes it's unconscious. So the passage in Ephesians is all how we respond to God's story. And the church service gives us an opportunity to be reminded of God's story. Let me recover that. So through our fellowship, through our songs, through readings, through communion, through hearing the word, and through all other aspects of our worship, we're being reminded of God's story. And in doing so, we're hopefully preparing ourselves for our everyday lives. And so I'm going to show a little video on that now. Oh, hang on. Sound. Let's just get that working.
So many things dying for me, swarming, gathering, swirling, spiraling, fighting for my time, calling for my eyes, crowding my vision, demanding my energy, hungry for my life, shouting loud, storming my mind.
A still, small voice beneath the noise, undercuts the storm, whispering, urging, inviting. Come, worship, see.
Come, worship, see.
Worshipping you changes perspective. Lift our eyes to you. Our eyes made new, everything filtered through the lens of your goodness.
Scattered, we carry your presence with us, guiding our steps, changing atmospheres, navigating, discerning worldly strife, filling and sharing your holy life, understanding priorities right. In your light, do we see light?
Okay, so just for a minute, maybe, talk to the person next to you about something that struck you in that video, and then I'll get some feedback, okay? So chat to the person next to you. Never mind. Okay. If you want to finish up your conversations. Does anyone want to feedback anything that struck them in that video? So anything that caught their attention? Yeah, go on, Carol.
I mean, because we were talking about open your eyes in the worship, I nearly stood up thinking there's people who are feeling that in the situation they're in, they actually can't open their eyes and see. Not knowing that this was what it was about, I just thought, oh, maybe I should have stood up and said something, sort of thing, because it's about,
seeing
through everything, the situation.
Yeah, good. And yeah, that's actually something I'm going to look at a bit more, you know, our vision and how we see things. Anything else that people struck them in the video?
God's voice is often still and small. Mm. To all the noise around you. Sometimes that's really hard.
Yeah, it can be hard to hear him, can't it? Yeah, especially with all of the noise and the clutter. Anything else?
Access that still small voice that we can't. I mean, obviously, church is fantastic, all of it, but in the week, being an awful long time in between, but ways to lift your eyes to Jesus in the middle of, you know, a wet Tuesday,
yes,
when it's double wet playtime.
Yes. Yeah, so we need to think about ways that we can, hear that voice when we're not in the church service and how, and yeah, in the talk, hopefully, we're going to explore some ways that we can hear that voice. Having been to church on the Sunday. So, just building on that, really, the Bible tells us a story that has the potential to change the way that we act, the way that we feel, and the way that we live. And that video is kind of exploring, and people have fed back the fact that you get lots of noise and lots of different priorities, lots of different purposes thrown at you in the week, and that can really distract you from hearing God's story and from acting in the way which God has called us to live. As well as hearing God's story, we hear many other stories, and they can have an impact on the way that we live our lives as well. And so I just want to think about that a little more deeply before we move on. So for the next couple of minutes, try and think about someone you know who's not yet a Christian, and how their beliefs shape the way that they live their lives, and if they have different priorities to you or different things that they do with their lives, okay? So think about someone who's not yet a Christian, and again, talk to a person near you. How do their beliefs shape the way that they live their lives? And do they have any different priorities or different things that they do with their lives? I'll get some feedback in a couple of minutes. Okay, we'll wrap it up there again then. So once you've finished your point, we'll get some feedback. I'd rather not. Yeah, can we finish up what we've got to then, please? And we'll get some feedback. I'm going to pick on you now, Emma. Okay, so I'm hoping, from the fact that there was such good conversation, that we've got quite a few ideas. So does anyone want to start us off? Some different beliefs or different priorities or different things people do? Yes?
You said about materialistic, they're not selfish people, but their eyes and their focus are in a slightly more personal, what can I get from myself,
yeah,
sort of situation.
Yeah, definitely. You get a lot of people who sort of not selfish, but they think about, oh, what can I get out of this? Absolutely, yeah. Other things people thought of?
Got a couple at work who go to lots of festivals and made a choice not to have children so they can carry on doing this for most of their life.
Yeah, so, it's sort of in a similar way. It's slightly differently acted out, but it's what they want from their lives. They want to keep being festival goers. They don't want to be, weighed down by having children. That's another good example. Other ones? Do we have a hand at the back? Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, self-absorbed, quite interested in what anybody else is doing
themselves. Okay, yeah, so they put themselves first.
Yeah.
And also, we've talked about prioritising their children even more than I would. But, you know, more because whilst my children are really important to me, they're not the only thing. Whereas for lots of my friends, they're basically the only thing in their lives. And so all their time and money and thoughts go on their children, experiences and everything.
Yeah, yeah. And the focus is on their children and not themselves. And that's another, you know, different priority. Yeah. I heard Emma at the front. I won't embarrass her, but talking about belt. I know, but I thought if I ask her to speak, that'll be too much. But since she had a go at me for not using my teacher voice, I'll embarrass her a little bit. Talking about bell ringers as an example of people with slightly different priorities to church, and Emma's family, a lot of them are bell ringers, so you hear a lot of stories of people being like, oh, it's ridiculous that they've moved the bell ringing to this time, and it's because they've moved the Sunday service time. And it's like, well, it's for the people attending the church, not just for the bell ringers. You get lots of people where their priorities can affect the way they act and the way they live their lives. Obviously, in our daily lives, we meet a lot of these priorities, a lot of these beliefs, and the temptation can certainly be when we come to church to see it as an escape from that and just a chance to zone out those priorities, and then sort of we have to survive them in the week, and then church is another escape. But God's intention is much bigger than that. He wants that as we attend church and in our worship, we're drawn into God's story, and that through this that we see life in a new light. Now, So Paul's writing the letter to the Ephesians here, it says at the start of the chapter, and if Paul were around today and you thought, okay, what would I like Paul to pray for Dayspring? You'd probably have, you know, some ideas of what you'd want him to pray for. It might be for a lot of people at the minute, it's the bus. We've just been talking about the bus. But, you know, you'll have something that you thought, yeah, it'd be really good if Paul could pray that for our church. And when you're thinking about that, you're probably thinking about your priorities for the church. Now, it says at the start of the chapter that Paul's writing to the saints in Ephesus, so he's not necessarily just writing to one church, he might be writing to the churches in Ephesus. And within there, they were a minority group, the Christians in Ephesus at the time, and they may well have been in quite small churches at times. So in some ways, there's a sort of similar background. We're a fairly small church, certainly Christians in this country are in a minority. So we might feel as we read this passage that we can see a little bit of what Paul wants to pray for the everyday church. You might be able to see it in that way. You know, he's writing to people in a general setting, and perhaps we can then try and look at what he wants to pray for those churches. And what he wants is for us to have a whole life vision. So a vision that sees Jesus filling everything in every way. And he doesn't want any area of life untouched. And I'm going to look at what sort of vision he's writing about now. So firstly, he's writing about a compelling vision. So our passage is entitled Thanksgiving and Prayer. And in the lead up to it, Paul uses language to embellish the story of our salvation. And this is the next extract on the printout that I gave you earlier. So this is the lead up to the passage which we're looking at. And I'm just going to read through it now. So in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. So I've just underlined there some of the rich language and some of the literary techniques that Paul's been using, because he really wants this piece of text to stand out. And what he's aiming to do is he's trying to communicate the power of God's story. Before he goes on to his prayer for the churches, he's trying to communicate the power of God's story. And he wants it to have a real impact. So he uses some very rich language to really try and grab your attention here. And he's painting a compelling picture. He wants us to see that our salvation is part of God's widest plan, which is the redemption of his creation. So our salvation is a part of that. And he wants us to therefore see how important our own salvation is. So when we come to our passage in Ephesians, having heard the incredible story of our salvation, Paul asks in verse 17 he asks that God would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know him better. So not only has Paul tried to communicate the story, but he's saying, okay, also you can know the author of that story. He wants God to give us that spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him better. Now, one of the priorities that people spoke about earlier was people, you know, not necessarily living selfishly, but certainly to an extent living for themselves. And I think that a lot of people nowadays, it's a lot easier for people to live insular lives. So I'd say it's far more normalized than it used to be that people live on their own. You know, people can spend hours on mobile phones, tablets, pieces of technology, not really communicating with human beings necessarily. And, you know, then there's people who are into online gaming, they can spend hours in their room on their own. And there are lots of other examples of this. So there's lots of ways that people can live quite insular lives and people can sort of avoid having much contact with the outside world. And in a sort of similar way, the gods that were worshipped in the ancient world, they were often depicted as being distant, as being impersonal, as being uninvolved. But what Paul's saying here is he's saying, well, ignore those gods. He doesn't want you to live an insular life. He doesn't want you to be uninvolved. He doesn't want you to feel that he's distant. He wants you to know that he's close. He wants to actively give you his spirit. He wants you to know him better. And so there's a real feeling here of not wanting to live insularly, not wanting to just live for self. So we're thinking about worship as we explore these series of talks. So maybe just chat to the person next to you for a minute now. How might being reminded that God isn't distant and isn't impersonal, how might that affect our worship? Okay, so think about that for a minute. I'll get some feedback in a minute. Sorry. How might being reminded that God isn't distant or impersonal affect our worship? That's the question. Okay, we'll finish up there then. So, again, can we get some feedback to that question then? Things people were talking about?
Maybe fortunately, I'm not the only one that his mind doesn't wander like ours does.
Yep. Knowing that his mind won't wander, that's a good one, yep. Other things people were talking about?
We said about worship being more joyful and happier experience, because you know God's listening, he's, you know, a temple, he wants to be close to you, so it's more of a happy experience rather than always really far away from him.
Yeah, you're not just worshipping out of awe, you also know that he's paying attention back to you. Yeah, definitely. Other ideas?
He's closer than the beat of your heart.
Yep.
It's not a box to be ticked.
Mm.
It's a friend to spend time with.
Yeah.
Obviously, God is more than that because it's worship.
Yeah.
But
you also know it's not a box to be ticked. Yeah. Good.
It's also more sort of spontaneous relationship. It's more like David said, a relationship, and instead of waiting till Sunday and doing the right thing and singing the right things.
Mm.
In a particular instant, you feel, I need to worship, I want to worship.
Yeah, and equally you then know, in the other way, that when you're in church worshipping, that can then go on and affect your weekly life, because it's not just something you do at church, it's something that can lead you through the week. And yeah, the other thing which I picked up is if you know that God's not distant and not impersonal, then when you're worshipping him, you can actually be praying, you know, God, as I'm worshipping you, help me to know you better. So, you know, because you know that God wants to be personal, doesn't want to be distant, as you're worshipping, you can be praying, yes, let me know you better. And then as you know him better, hopefully that then leads to you being equipped through the week. So we've looked at the fact that it's the vision that's painted here is a compelling vision. It's also a renewing and a whole life vision. So as we've kind of already started to talk about, there is more than just knowing the story of our salvation. And this is picked up on particularly in verse 19 onwards. So in verse 19 from the Ephesians passage, Paul goes on to talk about the incomparably great power for us who believe. And then we see in verse 20 that this is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And it's Paul's prayer here that as church that we would know this power. So, you know, think about that for a minute. If God truly answered that prayer and we really knew the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, you know, think about, okay, so if that was really answered and we really felt like we knew that, how would that impact your everyday life? As I said previously, worship reminds us of God's salvation story, and so it leads us to a place where we can know this power. And so the question is, what is this power for? How is it accessed, and who can access it? So, starting by thinking about the context of the passage, Ephesus was a place where people lived in fear of evil spirits. It was part of the culture of the time. So they practiced lots of magic and superstition in their culture, and it was based around fear, manipulation, and control. People wanted the spirits to leave them alone, but at the same time, they wanted them to harm their enemies. There was this sort of culture going on there. Now we see in the passage that God's power is far above all rule and authority, power and dominion. And so God's power should free us from fear. And that's one of its purposes. But it's also there to exert his will. And we see this will in verse 22. In verse 22 it says, God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And so another purpose of this power is to bring everything under Jesus. And it gives us a vision of Jesus ruling over all. And we can think of that within our lives as well. So no area of our life should remain untouched. As we worship and as we know this power, Jesus's power then should be ruling over all aspects of our lives. And so as we access God's power, it should be equipping us for our daily lives. And one of the ways in which that happens is through the church service. We can have that new lens through which we see the world. And so we can think about when we worship together, we're hopefully helping one another to see things differently. We're helping one another to see this story. And so this leads me on to my final discussion point for the day. So talk to the person next to you. Firstly, what aspects of worship help you to see God's bigger story? So what aspects of worship help you to see God's bigger story? And what then can we do during the church service to help shape and inspire us for the week ahead? Okay, so what aspect of worship helps you to see God's story? And then what can we be doing during the church service to help shape and inspire us for the week ahead? I'll get feedback in a couple of minutes. Okay, if we want to wrap it up there again then, please. Okay, let's just start with that first question and just some very quick feedback. So just sort of like one word back, aspects of worship, or one or two words back, aspects of worship, or what aspects of worship help people see God's bigger story. So yeah, just people want to start giving ideas of what helps them.
Being reminded of truths.
Being reminded of truths, yeah, another one.
Being together.
Being together, yep, another one, people said.
Bread and wine helps to focus on the crucifixion, the heart of the gospel.
Bread and wine, yep, so focusing on the crucifixion, the heart of the gospel, that's a nice one. Other things people find help them?
Space to listen.
Space to listen, yep, anything else?
Sometimes.
sometimes the words of the song are really relevant to what you're going through.
Yeah, words of the songs that we sing, that's another good one. Anything else? Yeah, singing, absolutely. And yeah, and obviously we've had six different aspects there from different people that help them to access the worship. And yeah, the point is that there's all sorts of aspects of the church service which are there to help us to be reminded of God's story, to help us to engage in worship of God. And it's not going to be the same for each person. Did anyone have any thoughts on what we can do during the church service to help shape and inspire us for the week ahead then?
Listen,
yep, absolutely. Other things people said? Finding
the prayer table.
Prayer table, yeah, that's another really good one. So going and getting prayer and talking through things that are affecting us in our lives. Other ideas?
Based on the fact that quite a few people have said the words are songs, mm-hmm. I wonder whether words of scripture could be incorporated somehow into specific readings rather than just singing.
So yeah, having readings and then focusing on the words from that scripture, and then it's something that you can recall in the week. You can go, oh, it was it was a passage in Romans, it was in Romans 8, and you could go back and you could look at it in the week, so that would be another good thing. Any other ideas people came up with?
I think having an expectation to have it take away, mm-hmm. actually thinking of something that really strikes you to take away. Often you sing a lot, but actually expecting to find something that's really there for the week.
Yeah, and focusing on one thing is going to be helpful as well, because then it avoids you going, trying to recall church on Sunday and just recalling general things and not recalling anything specific. And yeah, you've picked up lots of sort of my takeaways from today and things we could be thinking about. But yeah, all of these things help us to be refreshed by God's power. And then when we start to think about how can we take this forward, then it gives us what we need to live out our lives on our front lines and to try and be glorifying God in whatever we do. So just wrapping up then, takeaways from today. Firstly, knowing that all aspects of the church service can give us an opportunity to be reminded of God's great salvation story should mean that really as we come to church we approach that with this in mind. So not just expecting to hear about God's story in the worship songs or in the sermon, but expecting that in all aspects of the service we'll have opportunities to be reminded of that story. And so approaching church with that in mind. And so before the services even started, what you could be doing as you walk, drive, however you get to church, you could be praying that you and the other people in the service will be shaped by the meeting and will hear from God anew. And then during the service, be on the lookout for ways God is speaking to you. So whatever that might be, one of the many different aspects we've heard, the words of songs, space to listen, the prayer table, be on the lookout for ways God's speaking to you. And when you've identified it, and when you feel that God's speaking to you, think then, okay, so how can this shape and help me in the week ahead? And then the third point I was going to pick up on was exactly what Carol suggested. After the service, before you go home, or on your way home, try and pick up on one or two things that really struck you in the service that day. And then make a note of these so that you can use them as prayer pointers in the week. And then, the Sunday service, the worship that we've had will have made a real impact on your week ahead, because you'll have something that you can reflect back on. And so when the noise of the world starts to, come at you and it's a rainy Tuesday with, double brake duty or something, then if you've got a note in your phone, you can quickly nip away and have a look and be reminded of one of the things you made a note of in the church service, and then it's still making an impact in the middle of your week. So the goal of Paul's prayer in Ephesians was great confidence for the small churches in Ephesus. They had a similar background to us, as we've already said. So just as they saw the church meeting as a time that they could build their confidence in Christ, so we should do the same. And we should be seeking to see God's resurrection power, and that should be an inspiration to us in our daily lives, and then hopefully leading to us making known his story on our front lines, whatever they may be. I think that will do for today.